A very good afternoon and welcome to The Property Show. It's every Sunday here on Dubai Eye. 2 hours of talking all about real estate, law, financial issues and much, much more. Now, let me introduce regular commentators who join each Sunday. Ludmila Yamalova, who's managing partner with Yamalova and Plefka Legal Consultants. Ludmila, always a pleasure. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. How
are you doing?
Sunday. Very well, thank you.
What have you... We were actually just saying off air, it's a bit of a quiet one this week, but I'm sure we'll fill the 2 hours very much... Very easily, but no great breaking news stories.
Exactly. We definitely will fill the 2 hours, but unlike the previous many, many weeks, the last week was probably least eventful out of, out of a few months. But there are still a few interesting stories. One in particular, the story that was published in several newspapers today, and that's about Nakheel challenging a challenging decision from the Dubai World Tribunal against it by one of the investors in the World Island, allegedly on the basis that one of the judges fell asleep during one of the hearings. So that's an interesting story. We'll delve into it a little more. And there's also a story about, an interesting story actually, about UAE winning an extradition case in the UK. There's also sort of related to that several stories or more like updates about the hunger strikes that were taking place in Dubai jails, and one related to an American citizen that was a former CEO of Dayar, and sort of the latest on that.
Yep,
and
he's also just got bail.
Yes, he just got bail, and another story about another businessman, a UK businessman, Qureshi, and sort of his plight in light of the hunger strikes. Then there are a few stories about, there's a story about Imar Semenza Sukuk, and that will be probably where Mike can share some of his thoughts. Mike is looking like a deer in the headlights.
You can hear the keyboard frantically going, Sukuk Imar.
Then a story about buy to let replaces flipping in Dubai property market. Another story about Dubai putting London in shade when it comes to rent yields.
Yes, I got that one too. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to discuss. And then a few updates about individual projects such as Lime Tree Lime Tree Villas allegedly being handed over from year end. And then a story for all the pet lovers out there, story on JBR pet lovers and sort of the issues there and the challenges they're facing.
No pet policies. And I think it might be quite interesting to sort of put that out to listeners as well. What do you think about this no pet policy? As Ludmila mentioned, there's a story, it's actually in the JBR project, the Jumeirah Beach residence. Pet lovers, apparently, there's a no pet policy in the buildings. And I suppose people are not particularly happy with this. But what do you think? Do you think that should be pets be allowed? Or should there be a no pet policy in all tower blocks? Let us know what you think. So that 40801. And of course, thank you, Ludmila. We'll be happy to answer your legal questions if you do have any. Throughout the programme, this is your opportunity to at least get some advice from Ludmila, who's here in the studio. Well, let's say hello and welcome also to Mike Small of VSM Consulting. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Siobhan.
Getting
yes.
Slightly quiet week as well. I mean, I suppose it's just been the aftermath of the big revelations of the week before.
Well,
but no massive major stories, apart from which is completely unconnected, which is the big Heathrow story.
It depends on whether you go detail, doesn't it? If you want just the shock headlines.
Well, I mean the headlines.
Yeah,
it's
headlines
still
fine.
Going on, obviously.
Yeah, not a lot going on, but underneath that, mass is going on. And you know, you've got to understand. You know, when you get to the bottom of the LIBOR scandal, or you get to the bottom of the Spanish and the Italians claiming there's an EU agreement, and you know it's not, so therefore all the detail comes out over the next 3-4 weeks. The detail is spilling out. I've even got a German finance ministry riposte to the Spanish, the EU, the Italians, saying we've got an agreement, which is very factual, very technical, and I'll read that out later. You know, on property, we've got Holland showing real signs now of problems. I said it full 40%. We're on the way. Hong Kong, that will fall. They're just beginning to catch up with the Chinese idea that if you make property too dear, you've got a problem. And they will, because they won't have any employees then. And then they won't have any businesses, because they won't have anyone who they can house there. So they're beginning to realise that that is a danger rather than something they can crow about. UK RICS survey came out forecasting property falls, which we expected. And when they forecast a fall, believe me, they're always short of what it actually is. London, there's a wealth tax coming out being proposed by HMRC, the mansion tax.
Yeah.
bit of detail spilling into the market now, which is great, because suddenly people realise there ain't going to be any exceptions. They are going to cut all the loopholes out, which is good, because that's what they need to do. So overall, there was a lot going on in my world, I'm afraid. It doesn't stop.
Never does, does it? Well, thank you, Mike. Look forward to getting more detail about those stories that you've suggested today as well. Thank you. And we are also joined this afternoon by Keith Lupton, who is the VP of Regional Sales for Worldwide Auctioneers Limited. Keith, welcome to you. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks. Super to be here.
Yeah. Now, we thought this afternoon we'd have a chat with you about auctioneers. And obviously, it's the sale and auction of heavy equipment, construction machinery, etc. You've been in the region for over 30 years. So I'm sure I've got a great insight into into it. Of course, the construction angle and machinery, it could possibly be a fantastic idea and a barometer, so to speak, of what is happening actually within the industry itself. You've got an auction coming up, I believe, on the 5th of August and and then obviously in September.
Yes,
are they sort of monthly?
Evening auction in Ramadan.
Right.
It's a tradition of 7 years in our company.
Okay.
We give them a free buffet and iftar and sahur and sell about 350
items. 350
items. Yeah.
And these are ranging from your, like, the massive...
Well, yeah, what we call dead row, a term I don't actually personally like, but that means non-static plant type generators, things that don't move. And then we'll sell 50 item, lots of those, and 300 mobile items, self-propelled.
Right.
JCBs, dumpers, cars as well. We like cars.
Oh, cars.
Yeah, we get an enthusiastic audience on cars.
Oh, right. Not on the building sites, obviously.
Well, four-wheel drive. And, oh, my gosh, may I mention the trade name, Toyota Hilux. They just, good ones, bad ones, wreckers, they go crazy.
Really? That's really interesting. And so all this machinery, is it sourced locally or is it brought in?
In the Ramadan sale, it's mainly local. Right. But the rest of the sales, we have 7 a year, will be from, both local and overseas, UK, Singapore, Japan, and in fact, Qatar and Saudi. Saudi a little bit.
Right.
Vast amounts go to Saudi.
Yeah.
The odd chap sends one in, he wants to not sell on his own backyard kind of thing.
And they physically are here, is that what, or
yes,
do they say
yes,
they sell them remotely?
That's where we, probably a bit of an old dinosaur, we are online very much, in fact the company president is very high tech.
Yeah.
But people here like to see it, kick it, feel it. And smell it when it goes banging.
See, this is what always amazes me, that when I've sort of done some interviews previously on auctions, is that all this massive machinery is actually shipped in, whatever, I'm not thinking it's flown, shipped in or brought in from the UK to have an auction here. And it might be bought by someone in the UK and goes all the way back again.
It does often. If it fits in a container, it tends to can often go back to homeland, particularly the States, for example.
Right.
Especially anything made in the States. Of course, they have no import tax when it goes back.
Well, I wanted to ask you that. I mean, what's the benefits of buying machinery from this part of the world and from
usually price.
Cheaper.
Usually price. Even lightly used, low-houred, late model, which is what everybody wants, often is less expensive than buying from the States. But of course, in the US, it has to be the EPA passed. But
yeah.
It also goes to Mexico and South America.
Is that, do you
and
think, where the
Africa is also our big a big market?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I mean, obviously, in the job that you do, you must have an eye on where is the big construction happening around the world. So are you saying that sort of South America is still sort of
yes, and Iraq,
a lot happening?
Iraq and Saudi. Iraq, Saudi and West Africa are the three current
really?
Ones. They vary. They
yeah.
really do. But that's where it's all happening.
Well, I suppose we kind of know that, don't we? Saudi, massive amounts of construction going on there and investment. Iraq also, there's a lot of rebuilding, a lot of reconstruction going on, particularly possibly in the north. And where was the other place that you mentioned?
The west coast of Africa is quite buoyant, apart from Nigeria. Nigeria is a bit of a political mess at the moment.
Right.
They're going through elections, aren't they, at the moment?
Yes,
which is always a difficult time.
And the government
for them,
are not paying. And, paying the contractors, so they can come here and buy the goodies.
How about in the UAE? Is there much of a demand now, or has there been an increase, recent increase in demand for construction
equipment? It's a bit quiet at the moment. The current market is quite nervous, mainly because of Egypt, Libya and Syria, unfortunately. Everyone is looking forward to after Ramadan. It's like a mantra at the moment, after Ramadan. The beginning of the year was excellent. Really, we had a sale in January, March and June. And oh my gosh, buoyant. But our last sale, it was tough going. People were just nervous.
Nervous about buying equipment?
Yeah, or both putting in, because we're unreserved. There were no reserves in our...
Right.
It's an American-style auction, which really does work.
So in terms of construction equipment, what's the life cycle? I mean, is that something that... I mean, could it be that the UAE is not really buying much right now because we've already bought, you know, years ago? We already have it in stock. Or does it sort of have some kind of expiration date?
Not really, no, because the Africans will go on price at the moment. And you get Australia, who will go very high dollars on a late model, low hours. Now, they've cleaned the place out, unfortunately. I mean, good for the sellers.
Yeah.
Post-end of boom here coincided with Australia needing equipment, both for mining, flood repair, blah, blah, blah. And the whole place went crazy. Of course, we keep the customs and the shipping people happy as well, I hope.
Interesting, we've just had a text come through from Lisa. I don't know if you can help with this, but it refers to the cars that you mentioned earlier. She says, I have a Range Rover which was burnt out completely and all that is left is the shell. I've been told I can sell it for scrap metal. Do you know how I can go about that? Is that anything
yes,
that you would
the,
do?
The scrap dealers in Sharjah.
Right.
But she has to cancel the registration.
Right.
They need title. Title is everything.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I actually had to scrap my car as well recently.
Oh,
so,
right.
Yeah, I went through the process myself. I know exactly what to do and how to do it. And you have to pay money, basically. I mean, you can get some sort of little bit of money back for it, but you also have to pay money to the to RTA to basically have the car removed from your
yes,
registration.
Yes,
and there's, you know, there's still a lot of money involved in actually
having
to scrap.
Where did it go, your car? What happened to it?
There are scrap dealers in Sharjah, and they're just always on the lookout.
Afghanistan.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I've heard a lot of these cars actually are not really scrapped in the traditional sense, but they're actually sent to other developing countries with a little bit of tweaking and mucking around, and they're made operational again for use in other countries. And that's I've heard that.
In Africa, I'm afraid we sold some Toyota Land Cruisers, these technicals. And frankly, they were extremely poor condition from an excellent client who unfortunately had to bring these out of Algeria, and brought them here because we normally get good prices. And they went crazy. And really, these were incredibly, totally unregisterable in the GCC. But they went off to Sudan and the Horn of Africa.
Gosh.
There's a whole industry around
it. With them.
We try to be apolitical.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back after this.